What's going on, guys? Welcome back to episode 22 of the No Fire Podcast. Happy to be here. Happy that you all are listening, watching, viewing, subscribing, all of the above. We're going to go ahead and dive into the relationship corner. The last couple weeks, we've been diving right into it because, you know what, guys? Our podcast is based on relationship topics, stories, advice, anything and everything to do with relationships. So let's go ahead and dive into the important stuff. So this week, I have a couple questions, a couple scenarios. I'll pose them to you, and we'll give our opinions on them. So let's go ahead and jump into it. So, according to Therapy Jeff on TikTok, one of the most important things to know about yourself is your red flags. What do you think your red flags are?
I feel like I've worked on my red flags. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I am kind of short-tempered.
Okay.
Which is typically a red flag. But I'm better about that. I don't know. I feel like I have a bunch of things about myself that I could think that are not the best attributes.
I think one thing for me that I feel like is a red flag for myself is that I'm overly forgiving. Like, yeah. Somebody could have a red flag and I'll kind of just be like, oh, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I guess I needed an example of what's a red flag that you'd be like, meh.
I just give too much grace almost to some people, or like some scenarios or situations or actions that people have. I try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. And I think maybe I just take it a little bit too far sometimes.
Yeah.
I've definitely got other red flags. I'm trying to think of, I compartmentalize things, I feel like.
That's not a red flag. I wish I could do that. My brain is not functioning that way. I feel like my severe ADHD is a red flag because sometimes I seem like disinterested, but I'm just like very like.
Your brain's just going all over the place.
I'm like, I literally will be doing one thing and thinking about 17 other things that I need to do, and most of the time won't complete. Like, right, I'm getting tired right now thinking about all the things that I need to still do.
Yeah.
Before the day's over, you know how it is.
Well, if your ADHD is a red flag, then my social anxiety is a red flag.
I feel like we feed off of each other because of those things, and sometimes I don't like being around people. A lot of times I don't like being around people.
Yeah, we just feed into each other's toxicity then.
Let's not go anywhere. Let's just hang here. Yeah, I mean, I guess we have red flags in our within each other.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it helps us save money, though.
Yeah, that's true. We used to spend a lot of money.
In the beginning of our relationship, how we first started to bond and really like make that connection was by going out to bars and drinking together with like friends.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't recommend that. Like, obviously, things worked out for us.
Yeah.
But I would not recommend that atmosphere because once you've had some alcohol, I feel like you're more susceptible to not being as judgmental, which you shouldn't always be judgmental, but it might not put you in the right frame of mind to make the best decisions or be the best judge of character.
So what I'm hearing you say is don't drink too much because you might have beer goggles.
Yes, basically. I feel like beer goggles are always judged as like what somebody looks like.
But it could be a lot of things. Like, you could not think that they're as obnoxious when you're also drunk. Like, agreed. Sometimes people are fucking
annoying.
Yeah, like, and they drink and then they're even more annoying. And it's like, yeah, that's a no for me.
Yeah.
That's a no for me.
Yeah, alcohol is just, you know, some people call it liquid courage. Maybe it's liquid stupidity. Maybe a little bit of that.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
But yeah, as far as red flags go, I would say that we both have red flags, but it'd be something I'd have to like sit down and evaluate myself and probably ask you, be like, hey, what are things that bother you? What are my like my actions or my things that I do on a normal basis?
Well, in the beginning, I would say that my red flag was that I was still friends with my ex.
Okay, yeah.
Remember?
Like in the very beginning of our relationship, going and hanging out with your freshly ex.
Yeah, I mean, we don't talk anymore, so I feel like there's that one. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, you evolve over time. People, you know, change as the relationship grows, and you grow with each other, and each other's red flags may not become. And I feel like red flags are subjective, too, to specific people.
Yeah.
They may be actions or things that bother some people but don't bother other people. So, I don't know. You're my green flag in life, honey.
Oh, baby. You're my green flag, too.
Nobody wants to hear this.
Yeah. You're right.
All right. Let's jump on to the next one. Ooh. How do you know when it's time to end a relationship?
When being around them is just aggravating to your soul.
Okay.
Like, if you can't stand being around somebody who you used to like, or who you think that you love, like, there's never a point. Like, you don't really do things that annoy me that mm-hmm. often, really ever. But, oh my God, I just lost my train of thought. Honey, I just saw it go through my head and go out the other side. What was I talking about?
How do you know when it's time to end a relationship?
Oh, because somebody's annoying? Like, was that what I was saying? Oh, that's what I was getting to. I was saying how there's not a point in time that, like, you have ever made me so irritated or pissed off that, like, I couldn't stand you. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't stand the sight of you or couldn't stand to be around you. Like, and especially to stay in that state.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying it's time to break up with them if, like, you have, like, a moment of, like, you're getting my fucking nerves right now.
Yeah.
I'm saying if this is a continued state where you feel like you are more bothered around them than you are happy around them, I think that's when it needs to be done.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't even realize it's gotten there. Sometimes you don't realize how, like, negative you've become with each other or how, like, toxic you've become with each other. And you can hear from everybody around you, but that doesn't matter because you have to learn in your own time. You know, you got to experience that shit yourself.
Yeah, I think for me, I consider myself a very tolerant person. So I tend to stay in relationships too long, even after I know that they should be over, that I'm like, I'm already emotionally detached and I feel like I'm not in the relationship, but the other person doesn't know that. But that's how I'm feeling. Yeah, it is bad. But it is. That's just me. That's my red flag.
Oh, there you go. That's your red flag.
Yeah. So what do I think is a sign that it's time to end the relationship? Mm-hmm. When you can no longer compromise anymore. You're at each other's throats so much that you don't want to give in to the other person. You're just done compromising. You're not trying in the relationship anymore.
You're stuck in your ways and you're not going to budge.
Yeah. That effort has just gone out the window. So I feel like that's kind of a sign. That
is definitely
it's time to break up. I'm trying to think of what else could be a sign.
Making up and breaking up every 5 seconds.
Yeah, the roller coaster of getting back together with somebody and then breaking up again. That trend of happening often, that's definitely a sign to break up.
That's toxic.
Maybe when you're looking for attention outside of your relationship, should check yourself and be like, okay, maybe it's time to break up with my significant other if I'm, you know, trying to find that attention somewhere else.
It's true. That's a good one.
Do yourself a favor.
Snip it.
All right, we'll hop on to the next thing. Okay, it goes along with that one. How should you break up with someone? What's the right way to go about it?
There's never a right way to go about breaking up with somebody. I mean, obviously, you want to be well thought out, but it depends. Like, if your emotions are high, like, who's to say you're not going to say something that you don't mean? Or if you're in the middle of a fight and, like, you had already thought that you guys were going to break up and then you say malicious shit in the middle of it, like, obviously, you want to be, like, level-headed. You want to be calm.
Yeah.
And be clear about how you feel, but
so
there's no guarantee.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And in my previous relationship, I thought the best thing for me to do was to write all my thoughts out and get it down on paper and kind of figure out, okay, like what are the reasons that we're breaking up, and just kind of pour my emotions out on paper so I could really have a level head when I came to her with like, hey, this is not working for me. It's not working for us. We both need to move on, yada, yada. So I wrote this down in a journal that I had, and it backfired on me. She found it and read it. And then obviously that created an issue in itself. But in a way it was easier for me because I'm terrible with confronting people, especially with uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, you're non-confrontational.
So I guess in a way it worked out, but at the same time, you want to give that person the benefit of the doubt of like coming to them and, you know, at least explaining yourself in person. You don't want them to find what you've written down. But I think for a lot of people that can help to get all your thoughts down on paper and figure out the root and the real reason that maybe why your relationship isn't working or why you don't want to be in the relationship, anything like that.
Yeah.
But
just don't leave it around.
Yeah, I think you should be try to be thoughtful. Obviously, I don't know what led to this relationship breaking up, but, you know, be nice in the moment. Try not to be aggressive. You don't want it to be an argument. That's not what you're there to do. You want to leave on good terms.
Don't blindside people.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is to try and break up with someone, but be on good terms by the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, explain that just because the relationship didn't work out doesn't mean that you guys can't still be cordial or be friends or whatever.
It's fair.
I feel like that's important.
It is important. Very important.
That's all I got for the relationship corner. Thanks for tuning into that portion of the podcast, guys. We'll go ahead and jump onto the next thing here. Thank you all for viewing, watching, liking, and subscribing. Rate our podcast on Spotify, wherever you like to listen or watch. All right, the next thing. This is something that I've been thinking about, and I don't know what really brought it into my head, but do you think that medicine is designed to actually heal people, or do you think it is there to basically just put a Band-Aid on the situation?
I think it's a combination of the two, unfortunately.
I think of, like, the big... Like, I think of cancer, I think of diabetes, I think of, like, heart failure, congestive heart failure, issues like that.
Some stuff does have just Band-Aids that you can put on it, though.
I feel like there are, personally, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I think that there are cures for everything. Obviously, certain types of diabetes can be cured by, you know, eating healthy and being active, whatever the case is. Some diabetes is just genetics. So I think there are certain things that can be fixed, especially with like a good diet. And then like cancer, I don't think that's specific to your diet.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that you can cure cancer from a good diet, but I feel like there is a cure out there. I feel like they figured out a cure, but I think chemotherapy is just makes so much money. And
so sad.
Yeah, I think it's terrible because it's literally just blasting radiation into your body, just putting poison into you to not only kill the cancer, but it's killing you at the same time. Not that the cancer's not, but
yeah,
I just can't believe with the technology that we have nowadays that they haven't come across something that works better than chemotherapy, something that's more of a fix than chemotherapy, something that's like a genuine cure for cancer.
Yeah, even if it's outrageous, because you know the cure for cancer is going to be outrageous.
I mean, as far as science goes, like we had, you know, the virus come across and they came out with a shot that was very quick. And I just feel like the leaps and bounds that they make in medicine should lead to a cure.
It should.
But... And we just have all these Band-Aid fixes. Like you can take medication for high blood pressure.
Yeah.
It's okay. Well, how about we just figure out the root to the issue and then solve that?
It's a fair point.
Are you drinking too much alcohol? Are you eating terrible food for you? Like, what's the real problem?
Maybe it's genetics.
Maybe it is genetics, and maybe we figure that out, and maybe it's because... you can't, like, the food that you're eating, you can't process it correctly, or you're not, your thyroid isn't, you know, making the right hormone or whatever it is. There's got to be an issue. There's something that's going wrong in the body. And I feel like we have the tools and the know-how to fix those things. So with that said, do you think that there is a future where there's no disease?
No disease, like, of all diseases?
Maybe I'll just phrase it this way. Do you think there's a future with no cancer? Because at this point...
Not anytime soon.
At this point, everything that we eat, drink, smoke, phones, whatever, everything that we come in contact with nowadays gives us cancer.
Yeah.
So I feel like...
I don't see it being cancer-free.
I just feel like there's... Oh, man. They gotta have a cure. Just make it expensive if you guys want to make money.
They are going to make it expensive.
Well, the, everything else is so expensive.
Yeah, for real.
I wonder how much money the chemotherapy makes a year. Do you think it's billions? Do you think it's trillions?
Trillions.
You think it's trillions?
Trillions.
With a T, capital T.
As in Tom.
All right, we'll talk about the elephant in the room. I cut my hair. How do you feel about it?
I love it. You look so handsome.
I think when I got it cut, like still sitting in the barber chair, it almost didn't feel right. But I think like 12 hours after the haircut, I was like, no, I like it. I like it now.
It was just different for you.
Yeah.
I loved it right away.
I've had the same haircut for at least 6 years.
Yeah.
Our entire relationship, I've had the same haircut.
I've had different color hairs. I've had different lengths of hair. I've had all types of things in between. But yeah, you've had the same hair the entire time.
So not only was it time for a change for my hair, but I think it was just a time to maybe like kickstart something. Maybe this can push me to do something else that's more productive in life. And yeah, I'm mixing it up, doing anything and everything to try and get something going for myself.
You're so cute, honey.
I want to mention this shirt that I got from Temu. It fits really nicely. This is a size large. It fits a little bit smaller than a regular large. If anybody's ordered clothes off like Temu or like Shein or anything like that, it's always sketchy buying stuff. This shirt is not very comfortable.
Interesting.
The material actually feels pretty soft on the outside, mm-hmm. but it's making my back itchy.
I don't like that.
Yeah, you know, probably some cheap chemicals in there somewhere. Whatever dyes and coloring they're using, you never know.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But it's a cool looking shirt. I like it. It's kind of, you know, it's got cherry blossoms on it. Some... I hope this is Japanese lettering that doesn't say anything terrible on it.
True. Some mountains.
Yeah, it's like a cool shirt.
I like it.
Something
it's cute.
I would wear. I like the color too. I'm in my khaki era right now.
You are in a khaki era right now.
Well, I got these shoes and they're khaki and I can't really wear them if I'm not wearing khaki or at least like a dark green color.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just throws off the outfit. So
or black.
I don't think black goes with this. If I wore
like the top kind of has black on it, no?
If I was wearing khaki and black, I could wear these.
Okay.
Which is what I'm wearing right now. I like to match. I wouldn't say I have good style, but I do like to match.
You look good, honey. You always look good.
Thanks. Think about bringing the earrings back now that I...
Oh my God, you're a new guy. Here we go.
Maybe some black studs or something.
You want diamonds?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about that. I don't know how far I'm going
our
with
anniversary
all this.
Oh, your birthday's coming up.
I'm turning 27.
Yep. Old man.
I'm not old. I'm a young man. That's why I got my hair cut, so I can look and feel young again.
I think it makes you look your age.
You think it... See, you think it makes me look older.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes me look older.
I think it's just because you think of yourself younger with it because that's when you had it.
Yeah. Let me know down in the comments, do I look younger right now or in the previous episodes? Because I know you guys are all watching our episodes right now. So let me know in the comments. Comment down below. This haircut make me look older or younger?
It makes you look handsome either way, honey.
Do I look closer to a millennial, Gen Z, Gen Alpha? What do I look like right now? So Gen Alpha is like the newest generation, mm-hmm. I think. I heard somebody say it the other day, so yeah. I'm just basing it off of that.
I think Philip said it.
Yeah. There's this thing called Skibidi Toilet something, whatever. I think it's a video of a guy that lives in a toilet, and like all of his vernacular is these new hip sayings, and I don't understand a damn word of it.
Well, if you don't understand it, I really ain't gonna understand it.
Skibidi Ohio Riz whatever. Like, I know what some of the words are, but I don't know what Skibidi or Ohio or
I know what a lot of the others.
Riz is just charisma, so
it's
that's an easy one.
Middle name, baby.
But yeah, I if you went to Gen Alpha and you asked them what does lit mean, would they know?
Maybe.
I don't know if they would.
I don't know. I don't know how old Alpha is.
And I use things in like a condescending way. Like, and it starts becoming part of the things that I use in everyday talking. And I'm afraid that I'm going to start using these weird words and I'm just going to become one of them young kids that you can't understand.
I won't let you.
I don't know if I'll ever go that far, but
I won't let you.
It happens to me.
I thought of another red flag of myself.
Oh, yeah. What do you got?
Sitting here to do the podcast and looking at the plants who need some TLC.
I'll count that as a red flag.
I think that's also attributing to my ADHD red flag, so.
The ADHD giving you all the red flags.
It does. Gives me most of my red flags, oh. I feel like.
You know, guys, comment down below. What are your red flags? Oh, there's going to be so many comments.
I'm sure.
I'm going to love reading them. There's going to be zero comments.
Yes.
Oh, thank you guys so much for watching. Oh, my God. You're the best. Okay, so on the next thing. Yeah, I cut my hair. I look younger. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, next thing. Off the top of your head, is there any advice that you could give to people that you would think would make them happier in everyday life or make their life better in some way? So like a habit or something they could do that would make their life better?
If you are unhappy in like your job, for example, I think job is the biggest thing because mm-hmm. we spend so much time at work and we spend so much time at home. It, to try to like find something that is like your outlet. I mean, I'm guilty of having way too many outlets, but I mean, it's how I get through. Like, I don't hate my job, but I don't love my job. You know what I mean? Like, I make good money, but I just,
it's not your passion.
It's not my passion. I have no passion to do it. And so I have a passion project that I like to work with on the side, and now that I've like actually like pursued doing it and like selling it and building the website and doing all these things and learning all these things, like it's bringing me so much more joy to the point that I'm like, maybe I should stop working less at the other job to focus more energy on this. And it's just making me like my day to day more fulfilling, maybe, is what I'm trying to say. So find something that just brings you joy, even if it's not like a side hustle, even if it's just like, I don't know. All I can think is like crafty things and planty things. Like, that's just where my brain goes. But something on the side that you enjoy.
Yeah.
That brings some excitement to it.
I feel like I have a hard time deciding what actually brings me joy.
God, I keep burping. I'm sorry.
Like, sometimes I feel like I'm doing things that make me happy. But then again, they're like stressing me out and I'm worrying about not keeping up with them. And I'm like, okay, well, are they really making me happy if they're stressing me out like this? I don't know.
I feel like you're also very guilty of spreading yourself very thin.
I haven't been doing shit the last couple weeks.
I feel like you've been nonstop.
Not a fucking chance. I've gotten basically nothing accomplished in the last 2 weeks.
2 weeks though, honey.
Like, outside of working a like my actual job that pays me to be there, I have maybe done 5 hours of work outside of that in like 2 weeks. So, no, I have not been productive. I haven't gotten anything done. And I can't tell you whether I've been happier, less stressed, more stressed. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's just, I feel like I have such a roller coaster of emotions on a daily basis that it's hard to find like a baseline for anything for me. And that's why it's hard for me to decide whether I enjoy things. I enjoy accomplishing tasks. When I work out, I enjoy the results of working out. I don't know if I'm specifically enjoying the actual workout itself. I don't know if a lot of people enjoy the act of working out.
I don't. Yeah.
Sometimes it brings me joy. Like when you hit a new PR or you did something you didn't think you could do. Yeah, that's cool.
I agree with that.
But the day in and day out of working out, I don't know if that specifically brings me joy. But overall in life, working out does make me happier. And I can quantify that.
Yeah.
Because I have a huge self-image issue and working out helps to kind of quell that.
Yeah.
Because I'm always in a progressive state. I'm always, you know, doing better for my, not only for my health, but like the way that I look, you know, stuff like that. It does help. So working out, eating healthy, I think that's one thing people can do, but I think that's a very basic like level thing is, oh, to be happier, eat healthier and work out.
But I mean, if people want to look better and that brings them more joy, then you know what I mean? Then.
Yeah. I feel like even though it is an obvious thing, I think everybody should do it. If you eat healthy and work out, it's just going to make your life better. It just is. There's no scenario where you're eating unhealthy and being lazy, and then you start eating healthy and working out where your life is worse. It's just not. It's going to get better.
Yeah, you'll never regret working out. You'll always regret not working out.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to satisfy you in life and make you genuinely happy, but it's going to improve your life in one way or another. One thing that I feel like is very under the radar that people never think about that could genuinely change how you feel on a physical level every single day.
Stretching.
That's a good one, but I don't do it. The one that I'm talking about is something I actually do and have like a decent amount of knowledge on is buying a good pair of shoes.
Mm.
You're gonna wear your shoes every single day at some point.
Yeah.
Having a good pair of shoes that not only feel comfortable on your feet, but are beneficial for your ankles, your knees, your hips, your back, all the way up your spine is going to improve your life.
Yeah.
On a physical and a mental level.
I know. I wore Converse for like, what, 2 hours? And my Achilles started hurting. The bottom of my feet started hurting. I'm like, I got to take these off. I can't handle it.
Yeah, genuinely. If you have foot pain and back pain, the first thing that I would recommend to anybody, not only like being physical and working out is going to help your body, but having a good pair of shoes that's going to set your foundation, which is your feet, in the right direction is a great step forward to feeling better on a daily basis. And I think physically feeling better is going to aid in your mental health as well. And it's just going to make you overall more happy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying buying a pair of shoes is going to make you satisfied in life, but it's something that you can do that will affect you on a daily basis.
It does make a difference.
I always, always choose to wear more comfortable shoes, as long as they match my outfit, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you look good, you feel good. So even if they're uncomfortable.
Shush your pie hole.
But yeah, I feel like that's something that's kind of out of the ordinary that people don't really think about. Is like if you're wearing Vans and Converse all the time, like I'm guilty of wearing Vans because I love me a good pair of Vans. But getting a good pair of tennis shoes can genuinely change how you feel on a daily basis.
Back pain.
It'll make you want to be more active. It'll make you want to go out and do things more often. It'll just make you more comfortable.
Stretching is also would make a difference for people.
I need to take your advice on that. I need to stretch more.
It helps with a lot of mobility. And then ever since I started doing more body weight workouts instead of weightlifting, I feel better. Like I don't get the feel good sore like I used to, which I do like that every once in a while. I just feel like I need to throw in a, you know, good weightlifting day. But stretching makes a lot of a difference. Like it helps a lot with my back pain. Just getting on the yoga mat and getting on the floor, doing my, what is that called? Swivel planks and I can't remember any of the names of them. The leg lifts, the bicycles. There's a bunch of different ones that you can do to help your lower back. And they all help. So stretch.
Get to it. So, self-help checklist here from the No Fire Podcast. So, first thing you're going to want to do is find a hobby, find your passion, and start working on it.
Yep.
Second thing, start eating healthier. Third, start working out, mm-hmm. whether it's going on a walk for 20 minutes every single day, whether it's, you know, doing some push-ups or actually going to the gym and lifting some weights. Just do something active, more some active than you're used to. Number four, get yourself a good pair of shoes, good, comfortable, supportive shoes.
Yep, that's a good day.
And then number five, I'm adding to the list, which I know you will never do, but try taking a cold shower.
Oh, no. I am like, I have gotten like warm now ever since I had the eczema flare up or whatever. Mm-hmm. I have been doing warm instead of steaming hot, which is like not, it's just not where it's at. Like if my skin's not burning, I'm not happy.
A cold shower gives you such a rush of endorphins.
Don't like it.
It is such a good feeling when you're done with it.
Yeah.
Like in the moment, you're like, oh, this is really cold.
It's like the cold plunge or whatever that everybody's
doing.
Yeah. Saying.
Yeah. It's just try taking a cold shower. It's uncomfortable, but it feels like so it. Good.
If I come from the yard, like when I do the lawn or do weeds or anything of that nature and I'm out there like sweating and dying,
mm-hmm.
I can come in and take a cold shower. That is literally the only time I can do that.
Yeah.
I have to be dying. And I am when I come in from yard work.
Yeah. Yeah, so follow that checklist to be a happier individual, not only mentally, but physically as well. I think that's a solid checklist.
Solid checklist, babe. That's to set them up for success.
Set you all up for success. So, in college, I wrote a paper on the ecological footprint between a Prius and a Hummer.
I remember you telling me about this.
And I wanted to ask your opinion on like hybrids and electric vehicles. So personally, here's my view. So since I did the research on this and I wrote the paper, this was, I mean, almost 10 years ago I wrote this paper when I first started college. Basically, it showed over 100,000 miles does a Prius or a Hummer leave a larger ecological footprint. So like carbon output, all of like the mining, everything that goes into the make of the vehicle, the driving it, and then like the half-life of the batteries and everything that makes up the vehicle till its end, like mm-hmm. in a landfill, all the way done.
Okay.
It showed that a Prius was more damaging to the environment than a Hummer is. And just your normal person wouldn't think that that's the case.
Go ahead.
Because a Prius is a much more fuel efficient and smaller vehicle, that it would have a much smaller ecological footprint.
Mm-hmm. But what is it?
Well, it's because of the batteries that make up like the electric portion of the motor for the Prius is so damaging to the environment. Not only the mining for lithium batteries, but the actual battery itself doesn't degrade for over 500,000 years.
Oh my God.
And what makes up that battery is very damaging to the environment as well. So even though the fact that, you know, a H2 or H1 Hummer, whatever I did it on, gets 6 miles to the gallon, is just eating up gasoline, and the Prius is over here getting like 50 miles to the gallon, you know, it's 10 times more efficient fuel-wise.
Is 6 miles to the gallon for real?
Oh, that's close to that.
Oh, my God.
If it's more than that, it's probably like 8. It's very bad. A Hummer gets terrible gas mileage. I wanted to ask your opinion on it. Like, if I didn't tell you that that's like the information that I researched and what I found when I wrote that paper, would you just assume that a hybrid or even say an electrical vehicle would be less damaging to the environment than a gas engine?
No, obviously not, because it's supposed to be better for the environment, like the car itself. So
yeah, I'm not really into politics and I don't really watch the news, but I would assume that people who don't want electric cars to take over the market would use that as an argument.
Yeah.
That electric vehicles and hybrids are damaging to the environment.
Yeah.
You would just think that they would come up with something that is more beneficial to the environment that wouldn't be as damaging,
yeah,
to be the solution, not something where you have to mine lithium for the batteries and the batteries are terrible for the environment. I get that it's not emitting as much carbon while you're driving it around, mm-hmm, but the process to build the car and then get rid of it is.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense to me either.
I know neither of us are going to watch it. Neither of us are really into politics, but there is a presidential debate tonight.
Don't care.
Joe Biden and Trump are going to debate tonight. So I'm sure there'll be some funny clips. I'll be looking out for that.
Yeah, people have been writing no tax or vote no tax on tips or something. I've been having a lot of people write on my checks at work.
Yeah, and you know that can't really happen.
Yeah.
You can't just not tax somebody for working a job and getting tipped. Like, that's not
it's not majority of our income.
That is 90% of our income, yeah, or more is tips. You work for tips. That's what you're doing there. You're giving good service to get the tips. That is your payment.
Yeah.
They're going to have to tax it.
If we didn't have to pay taxes on tips, baby.
I just might make a career out of this.
Yeah. No, I hate this.
No, yeah.
I'm over it.
Yeah. To all our fellow service industry members, stay strong out there. It's a tough life.
The game has changed. It's not the same.
Yeah, it's always evolving. It's going to change and continue to change. And yeah, it is what it is.
I just feel like COVID made people more entitled.
Well, I just think people are entitled in general. Maybe just notice it more now.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the No Fire Podcast. We post our videos every Thursday on YouTube. You can listen to us on Spotify or wherever you like to listen to podcasts, the audio format. Post them the same day on Thursday. Thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you guys next week.